Terry. Very good. Okay. Let's see. Okay, so Terry, you would like to be timed 12 minutes. Agnes, you've got that?
Yeah, if you could just give me a 1 minute, Agnes. I also have a timer here just in case something happens to mine. That'd be
Okay,
great.
great.
Thank
Thank
you.
you.
Okay, let's begin. The Zoom host has started the recording. So welcome to Time to Recover. The workshop is The Gift of Time. The theme is sponsorship and service. I'm delighted to introduce you to our speaker, Terry. A warm welcome to you. At this time, you may begin your presentation.
Thank you, Christine, and thank you, everyone. Hi, everyone. And my name is Terry A.H., and I'm from Maine, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. And I want to thank Judy and the committee for inviting me. And it's always an honor and privilege to be of service. So I just want to start out with a little prayer. It just helps me get grounded and, yeah, connected to this session. So, God, please empty me of me and fill me with thee. It's just a simple prayer. And so this session is all about sponsorship and service. It's called The Gift of Time. And so step 12 for me is, as it reads, it says, having had a spiritual awakening, as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and practice these principles in all our affairs. And so behind the 12th step is the principle of service, which means I have a responsibility to help others as I was helped when I started this 12-step process. So today I'll be sharing some of my visuals. I'm a visual, and that's how I remember, and it just helps other people too if you like visuals. So and I'll be sharing those around this 12-step sponsorship and service. And so the first visual that I want to share with you is, if you can picture this, as a result of the first 11 steps, right, is a great promise of having had a spiritual awakening as a result of the 12 steps. And so I have this responsibility to carry the message and practice these principles in all my affairs. So here's my visual. So I look at this step as we're building a house and we're installing all these electrical wires. I'm building this beautiful, beautiful house. So I run all the conduits, which are the tubes that cover the wires, and all these cables. And I put the plugs in, I put the light bulb fixtures in, and I got it all wired up. But I never flip on the switch. So that's my visual. Like, this is working the first 11 steps without doing service work, right? So it's like building this great house and this great wire system and never flipping on the switch. Because service and sponsoring is the switch that turns on the power. So if I've never done it or I never do it and I keep avoiding step 12 with sponsoring, I'm missing the greatest part of the program. So the first 11 steps are designed to get me out of the way enough so that I can perform what I believe is my purpose that God intended. So what does the 12 step do and sponsorship do? So step 12, helps me have a decrease in me and an increase in God. And one of my favorite sayings is, to find yourself is to lose yourself. So there's three parts of step 12. The first part is the one that I just read, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of the steps. So a spiritual awakening is just a psychic change that eliminates my obsession. And it's a change in the way that I think, the way that I feel, and the way that I behave. The second part of step 12 is we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters. So when I work with others, it's telling me my life will change. So what are some of the promises that this message to others carries? So if you look on page 89, I'm just going to kind of say them off. I mean, not say them in order, but it says it will. It will ensure immunity from going back to my alcoholic foods. It works when all activities fail. I can help when no one else. I can help when no one else can because I can secure the confidence. Life will take on new meaning. I will not want to miss this experience of watching our fellowship grow up about our loneliness vanishes. So those are some of the promises that come up for me as a result of working this step. So instead of isolating what it's telling me, instead of isolating, and to have frequent contact with others becomes the bright spot of my life. So, and the third part is practicing these principles in all my affairs. So this is about on a daily basis, I have an opportunity to put into practice things that I'm in place to obtain with a degree of honesty, tolerance, unselfishness, peace of mind, and love. So what does it look like for me today? So what it looks like for me today is to be of maximum service to God and my fellows. It says in the big book, the spiritual life is not a theory. We have to live it, right? So love and tolerance is my code. So I like to, there's a few places in the book, but I like to talk about, what my job is as a sponsor. So, and what it isn't. So my job, what it isn't, is not to control other people. It's not to control the outcome. It's not my job to force someone into recovery. So there are two things that I can't give someone. And the first thing is the willingness, and the second thing is a higher power. And they both have to come from within that person. So my only job is to show up and let go of the outcome. I take no credit for someone's recovery, and I take no responsibility for someone's relapse. It's not up to me. So my experience with sponsorship, what I do with others, I work with others. The key thing for me is to always meet the person where they're at, not where I think they should be, because everyone's in a different place. So I think that's a really important step. So for me, I sponsor many different ways. It depends on the person. I mean, there's as a sponsor, I really get to be a lighthouse rather than a lifeboat. I get to show them in the way. It's one of my visuals. My only job as a sponsor is to disturb their disease. And like I said, to show up and let go of the outcome. So I get to hold the lantern and shine the flashlight on this path of recovery, and that's an honor and it's a gift. So speaking of flashlights, here's another visual. So there are many styles of sponsorship, right? So if you look at a flashlight, when a flashlight grows dim or quits working, I don't throw it away, right? I don't throw the flashlight away. I change the batteries. So when a person relapses and feels themselves in a dark place, I don't cast them aside. Of course not. I don't do that. I help them change their batteries. So this is what it might look like. Some may need double A batteries for attention and affection. Some may need triple A batteries for affection, attention, and acceptance. So it's attention, affection, and acceptance. Some may need triple A batteries for attention, affection, and exception, but some may need C batteries for compassion, and some may need D batteries for direction. And if they still don't seem to shine, I simply continue to sit with them quietly and share my light. So I have to remember where I came from with many relapses to get me here. I've been abstinent since 2004, and I haven't found it necessary to go back to my alcoholic foods. But it doesn't necessarily mean that I have to sponsor them, but I can continue to support them and encourage them that there's another way out. So it says on page 96, to spend too much time on any one situation is to deny some other compulsive overeater an opportunity to live and be happy. So I get to live in a way that those who don't know, how do I put it? I get to live in a way that those who don't know God but know me will come to know God because they know me, and that's through sponsorship. And I found there's three types of sponsors. There's the first one is there's one that will direct me back to them. The second one is there's one that will direct me back to me. And the third one, which has worked for me, is one that will direct me back to God. And that's the one that I really want to work with. So what I found as a sponsor and a sponsee, if you can picture a rainbow, right, is another visual. And at the end of that rainbow, there's a pot of gold. And that pot of gold is my relationship with God as a result of the 12 steps. So someone took the time to take me over the rainbow so that I could have experience with this pot of gold. Now, my job as a sponsor, as a result of working the 12 steps, is to come back around that rainbow at the beginning of that rainbow and take somebody else over that rainbow so that they can experience that pot of gold too. And you know, my sponsorship is I have 2 minutes and 42 seconds, and I'll just share that it's been a gift for sponsorship for me. It's been a gift to be of service. It's my whole life. I work with many, and you know, I give all the credit to God. Like, I don't take any of the credit. You know, I look at this, and we can talk about food because we can. I look at it like this. If you picture an Oreo, here's a visual. If you picture an Oreo cookie, right? It was one of my favorite binge foods. If you picture an Oreo cookie, one side of the chocolate is me. The other side of the chocolate is the sponsee, but in the middle is the sweet cream, and that is God. So if God is in the middle of the relationship, I can't go wrong. You know, I can't go wrong. And it's a journey, but it's not necessarily my journey. I just get to shine the flashlight and show somebody the way. And that has been the gift of the 12 steps for me. Yeah, and I'll close with just where I have 2 minutes left. I'll close with the end of 164 because it's one of my favorite pages. It says, I mean 184, sorry. Oh no, 164, I had it right. It says, still you may say, but I will not have the benefit of contact who you who write this book. We cannot be sure. God will determine that. So you must remember that your reliance is always upon him. He will show you how to create the fellowship you crave. A book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in the morning meditation what you can do each day for the man or woman who still is sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. So here are the steps. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God, steps 1, 2, and 3. Admit your faults to him and your fellows, steps 4, 5, 6, and 7. Clear away the wreckage of your past, steps 8 and 9. Give freely of what you can find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, steps 10, 11, and 12. And you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then, thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Terry, for your qualification. I certainly picked up a bunch of gems. If you would like, please take a moment to share your contact information in the chat as we now turn it over to Jane. Jane, how would you like your time?
Can you give me a 2-minute warning, please?
Agnes,
Sure. Got
thanks.
it.
Go ahead,
Thanks.
Jane.
All right. Hi, everybody. I'm Jane, and I'm a compulsive eater, and it's really nice to be here. I'm from Baltimore, Maryland, and I thank Terry. I got many gems from what you said. Briefly to qualify, I came into OA in March of 1977. I was 15 years old, and standard compulsive eater, you know, binge eater, eating food out of trash cans, eating food with bugs in it, the whole thing. I don't need to qualify for long. I was told not to. I got abstinent on January 17th, 1980. I've been abstinent ever since. Lost about 30 pounds. And since I hit menopause, gained a few of those back, but not many. It's natural, healthy, and I'm grateful for that. As far as sponsorship and service, I wanted to start for me at the beginning because I see many people in the program who feel like after years in program, they still don't have the qualifications to be a sponsor. I started sponsoring when I was 4 days abstinent. And, you know, I had 4 more days than the person I was sponsoring. And at the time, the person who I was sponsoring, and I can't even remember how I got connected with her, but she was in one of the local psychiatric hospitals for compulsive eating. And after a while, I can't remember if it was a few weeks or a few months or whatever, she actually told me to please stop calling her, that I was bothering her more than I was helping. And so I did that, but my service to her hopefully helped her a little bit. And more importantly for me, kept me abstinent. So I am a big believer that sponsoring as soon as humanly possible is a good idea, because I was surprised that I knew as much as I knew when I started sponsoring. And if there was something I didn't know, I didn't help with, that was fine. The other thing I did very, 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 very early in abstinence is I agreed to speak at a meeting. And I got abstinent in between my first and second semester of college. So I was taking this Jan term at the time, which included a trip to New York City. And which was dangerous for an abstinence that was so very fragile and so very new. And I had promised before I went on that trip that I would speak at a meeting. And I remember, I don't think I would have stayed abstinent if I had not committed to speak at a meeting. But I knew that I had to come back and share my story. And if I had broken my abstinence, I wouldn't be able to do that. So that service, when my abstinence was so young and so fresh and so fragile, really, really, really helped. For me, sponsorship is a complex thing. I mean, I've had good experiences and bad experiences as a sponsor. I had somebody tell me that if I ever talked to her again, she would call the police. You know, I don't know if anybody else has been threatened with police action as a sponsor, but it's happened. There's a great story in the Big Book that talks about this couple who, for a year, tried to get people sober, and they had a farm or some kind of halfway house or something where people would come in and they tried and they tried and they tried, and nobody they worked with got sober. And at the end of the year, they looked at each other and they said, "Nobody we worked with got sober." And they looked at each other and they said, "But we're still sober." And then they went and got married. It's a happy story. So, you know, to me, my sponsorship is really more for my own recovery than for others. When I was early in the program, I used to take the daily food calls. That's how I sponsored. And I used to sponsor lots of people. Now, to me, a daily sponsor relationship would be too much. I had been sponsoring three people, one of whom calls me 3 days a week, one of whom calls me 2 days a week, one of whom calls me 1 day a week. The person and we go over the steps and their life. And basically, what I do is I guide them through the steps, usually with them working the workbook. And then I'm also a little bit of a nag. You know, I ask them, "Are you abstinent? Are you getting to meetings? Are you making telephone calls?" And I really like the idea of shining a light, because I feel like that's kind of my job is, just to kind of be that little naggy voice. "Are you doing this?" And then for them to tell me, "Look, my food's a little weird," or "I've got this life situation," or maybe they want to give me my fifth step. But the way I do it is I work them through the steps, and then I nag them about the tools and their recovery in general. I believe, and as far as other services concerned, I feel like the biggest service is for me to stay abstinent. I also feel like I commit to a meeting. I have a home meeting, and I feel like that's an important role that I play, because, you know, if people don't come to the meetings and do service, we don't survive. Right now, I do have an intergroup job. I'm the public information person at my intergroup. I have not been very active in that, but I at least try to do that and try to be available. At the same time, I've heard people say that whenever anybody asks you to do service, you should say yes. And I am a firm believer that that's not healthy. So I think that I need to set boundaries. And there was a period of time where I picked up a fourth person to sponsor, and it was too much. It was too much for me. It was messing with my serenity. So I feel like there are many of us who are not doing enough, and there are many of us who are doing too much. And I feel like part of my recovery through my step 11 maybe my step 10, and maybe through working with a sponsor, is to establish what is the healthiest way that I can do my program and be of service to other people. And so for me, that means I had to put limits on it. And I remember early on, somebody had needed a ride to a meeting, and I was talking to my sponsor about that. And my sponsor looked at me and she said, "For goodness sakes, just give the woman a ride." You know, it's so that was on the one side where I feel like there was more I could do and I didn't. But then on the other side, sometimes I can do too much. And I really do admire the attitude that AA has, that whenever somebody needs us, we should be there. At the same time, like I said, I think compulsive eaters are sometimes known for solving everybody else's problems while we wreak havoc on our own bodies, as opposed to maybe some of the other addictions. It's just my view. So I don't see anything that's unhealthy about setting some boundaries. And for me, it's also when I look at it as a return on what do they call it? On the investment. You know, I get to one meeting a week. I have a sponsor who I call a couple times a month. I do a 10 step and 11 step every single day. I sponsor three people. I have a pretty flexible food plan that I use. And I, since speaking is something I really like to do, pretty much when anybody ever asks me to speak, I speak. And in response to those services, which and jobs, I guess, which take me maybe 7 hours a week, I get a healthy body, a healthy way of eating, a spiritual life, a way of handling life that is that makes sense. So anyway, it's an incredible return on the investment, but that's about all I've got as far as sponsorship and service. So I thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much for sharing, Jane. I got so much out of that about being moderate, appropriate, and balanced. So let's see. If you would like, Jane, please take a moment and share your contact information in the chat. Thank you both, Terry and Jane. And now we open the floor to participants. Because we're a large group, it is easier if you raise your virtual hand, ask a question, or share. There's a 2-minute limit. Agnes
I
will
got it.
be.